This morning's responsive reading has come from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. So, may I invite you to pick up your Bible and follow along as we make some discretionary comments from this portion of God's Word. Notice verse 1. The king's heart, or we can also substitute the prime minister, the president, even the dictator or the tyrant, his heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, as the rivers of a water meander due to its current, he, God Almighty, turneth it, the king's heart, whithersoever he will. Beloved, that's fascinating, because many of those who have chosen to be a world leader, those who have even used their entire life, all the energy of their life, their wisdom, their strategies to conquer the world, like a Napoleon or an Alexander the Great or a Julius Caesar or a Genghis Khan or a Hitler or a Stalin or a Mao Zedong, individuals who arise on the world stage, a world leader, those who strive to control as many people as they can and as much real estate as they can. They truly believe that they are a god to themselves. They truly believe that they and they alone have all the wisdom and all the power to make the world a better place, a world which they're going to create, unfortunately, in their own image. And there have been many kings in the scriptures that have learned the lesson of verse 1 in a most harsh way. Take, for instance, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, during the Exodus. We are told that the Pharaoh, probably that was on the throne at this time, was King Thutmose III. And because of his 17 campaigns, he had expanded Egypt's border and power and prestige at the same time that Moses is being sent back to Egypt to confront this very powerful, very self-sufficient king who, in the eyes of his subjects, was what? God on earth. And you read the story in Exodus of the 10 plagues that come upon Egypt. And then finally, Pharaoh's back is broken, and he is forced to let Moses and the people go. And then in a fit of rage, as he contemplates his decision, he realizes that now he's lost all of his assets and all of these people. Free labor, cheap labor at that. And he sends his army full throttle to bring his property back. As far as he was concerned, he owned the Israelites, not realizing that God was about to enter into a covenant with these people, and they were going to belong to him and not to Pharaoh. And then God destroys Pharaoh's army there in the Red Sea. Thutmose III learned that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the flowing river, with its ebb and tide and its eddies and its flow and its current, God can turn even the most wickedest men, God can turn the most wickedest Nero, Hitler, or Stalin, as God so chooses. Another king that learned this lesson, but it turned out for his favor, was good old Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream in chapter 2, and this dream terrified him. And Daniel was the only one that was able to not only recount the dream, but then provide the interpretation. And in that dream, he was told that the head of gold to that statue was him, King Nebuchadnezzar, and that God had placed him there. But see, Nebuchadnezzar didn't get the lesson that time. It wasn't until chapter 4 where Nebuchadnezzar has another disturbing dream of this beautiful tree where all the fowls of heaven lodged themselves under its shade and under its shadow. But then it was chopped down, but leaving a stump by the watchers. And 7 years was pronounced upon this particular tree. All that was left was the stump. And once again, good old Daniel was called into the court and told then interprets the dream. But then he tells the dream that for 7 years, God's going to humble you like an animal. You're going to live in an ox crib, and you're going to eat grass like an animal. But then you're going to be restored. But in that restoration, you're going to realize that it is God who runs this universe and not you. And the fact that you're sitting on a throne is by divine permission, not your prowess. But then there's another king that learned the same lesson as Pharaoh. He wasn't like a Nebuchadnezzar. And that was good old King Herod the Great. In his anger and in his envy and his jealousy, topped off with his paranoia, when he was told by the Magi, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews?" Herod the Great took a few steps back and kind of reminded the Magi, "But I'm king of the Jews by order of the Roman Senate. Why don't you go find this would-be king? And then you bring me back word so that I might go and worship him." And what happens there? Well, the wise men go back home a different route. Herod the Great gets ticked off. And then he sends his soldiers out there to kill every child from the age of 2 down to infancy. And the Holy Family ends up escaping into Egypt. And then King Herod the Great, according to history, according to the writings of Josephus, dies a very painful, horrible, putrefying death. And so what do we find here, beloved? Look at that verse 1. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord." Well, beloved, we can take away the king's heart, and guess what? We can put you and me in the place of the word kings. Our respective hearts are in the hand of the Lord. Okay? And as a river flows, as its current whirls and swirls, as it forms its eddies, as it goes over rocks and rubble and limbs and whatever, it may empty into a pond, or it may empty into a lake, or it may empty eventually into an ocean. God is able to take our hearts, move it, bend it, break it, put it back together as he wills. Notice, "He turneth it," the king, "whithersoever he," the Lord, "wills." So this is a beautiful passage touching on the sovereignty of God. And when you hear most preaching today, and I would imagine in most houses of worship right now at this very hour in our fair city, there are scores of churches, beloved, where the sovereignty of God is seldom heard. Because if you come to terms with God's sovereignty, it ought to make the creature very uncomfortable to know that it is God who's in control and not man's free will. God is in control. Even in the most darkest moments of human history, God's in control. Even the most brightest of days, God is still in control. And so we want to leave you here this morning with simply verse 1, the sovereignty of God. The king's heart, the dictator's heart, the tyrant's heart, the president's heart, those in Congress, those in Parliament, those who sit on the Supreme Court, all the way down to city dog catcher, and you included. Your heart and my heart is in God's hands. And the will of the Lord in our respective lives will be accomplished, knowingly or unknowingly. God's will for your life will reach its conclusion. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.